You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
The US and China are at it again. Their dysfunctional relationship has once again led to talk of a trade war, and the Americans walked the talk as they imposed another $50 billion worth of tariffs on goods imported from China. The Chinese hit back once again with tariffs of their own. This time around, even India and Europe grumbled about US protectionism and levied their own tariffs to make a statement. I'm not sure if a full-fledged trade war is on, but Harley-Davidson moved production of some of its bikes out of the US. Could that be an indicator, a portent of things to come? Or is it just an indicator that market economics don't care for campaign promises and political bluster? Let's take a closer look at the so-called trade war between America and China, featuring supporting cast India and Europe. Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast on Money Control.
Trading insults. Donald Trump and the China trade war.
An exclusive on Money Control.
The fresh round of scaremongering kicked off last week or so with some ominous reporting by financial newspapers. For instance, the Financial Times of London began its report like this: America and China are on the brink of a full-scale trade war, with both sides escalating their threats to impose new trade tariffs. But by this time, we'd become jaded. Threat escalation, then a wind-down. Did we have something to worry about again, or was it the same old jousting between the two giants? On the 18th of June, American President Donald Trump ordered his administration to draft plans for tariffs on a further $200 billion in Chinese imports in case Beijing followed through on its threat to retaliate against U.S. duties on imports that were announced earlier. This was Trump prepping for the second salvo. The new tariffs will be implemented starting July and will affect trade worth approximately $100 billion between China and the U.S., which have already had a tariff showdown on steel, aluminium, and agricultural goods. The U.S. decided to instate further tariffs after accusing China of intellectual property theft, and China retaliated with tariffs of its own. The Chinese government imposed duties of 25% on 659 American products worth about $50 billion, according to the state-run Xinhua News Agency. The Chinese also listed U.S. products which would be subjected to additional tariffs, it said. Tariffs for 545 items worth about $34 billion, including agricultural products, vehicles, and aquatic products will be effective from the 6th of July 2018, said China's Customs Tariffs Commission. Talk about tit for tat. The Chinese Commission in its statement said, and we quote from there, "The U.S. move violates the relevant rules of the World Trade Organization, goes against the consensus already reached in bilateral economic and trade consultations, seriously infringes upon the legitimate rights and interests of the Chinese side, and undermines the interests of China and its people. The Chinese side firmly opposes that." Unquote. The increase in tariffs came after the two countries held several rounds of talks following Donald Trump's demand to slash bilateral trade deficit by $100 billion in a month, followed by $200 billion to address the $375 billion deficit. In May, both sides called for a truce after negotiations. They issued a joint statement that China would significantly increase purchase of U.S. agricultural and energy products to reduce the trade imbalance, which was one of Donald Trump's major demands. However, 10 days later, the White House abruptly announced it would go ahead with the tariffs. A further round of trade talks in Beijing earlier in June did not cut any ice. Trump proceeded with his tariff raj, imposing fresh tariffs on China, soon after similar tariffs on steel and aluminium imports from Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. His reasons for these tariffs? National security. So now we're on the cusp of another full-blown trade war, as the pundits have been warning. And this time around, the fight could get dirty. For instance, a Money Control report noted that American brands in China face an even bigger potential threat: local rivals armed with innovative products and the Chinese government's blessing. Household names like Apple, Starbucks, and Pampers are seeing their dominance challenged, a threat to the hundreds of billions of dollars that U.S. firms make in China. According to analysts at Bain & Company and Kantar, local brands upstaged American companies in almost three-quarters of China's $97 billion market for FMCG last year, up from two-thirds in 2013. The data indicates from a survey of 40,000 Chinese urban households that US products like Pampers, Colgate and Mead Johnson saw market share drop nearly 10% in the last 5 years. According to Bruno Lanes, a Shanghai-based partner with Bain & Company, the consultancy that co-authored a report published by Bain & Kantar, we quote him here, local competition is now high on the agenda of foreign firms in China. He also added that in order to win in China, now they need to beat not just traditional competitors, but they need to win against local companies that are faster and more innovative than they had realized, unquote. While American brands and products have always enjoyed an aspirational status in China, their dominance is threatened by a push from the country to create its own champions in certain categories and weed out weaker players. According to an analysis of 121 U.S.-listed American firms that broke out data for China's sales in the most recent fiscal year, trade tensions could worsen the situation, threatening more than $180 billion in sales by U.S. firms in China. The total is likely much higher as many U.S. firms with a major presence in China, namely Starbucks, McDonald's, Walmart, etc., don't break out China's sales. Data shows that Apple made about $44.8 billion in China in the last fiscal, Procter & Gamble made about $5.2 billion, and Nike earned about $4.2 billion. The looming threat for American companies in China is the growth of Chinese companies. For instance, even a strong aspirational brand like the iPhone stalled at a 10% market share, ceding ground to homegrown brands like Oppo, Vivo, and Huawei. Starbucks, which boomed in China on the back of a budding coffee culture, said its same-store sales growth in the country slowed to zero in the second quarter of 2018. Delivery issues, said Starbucks, but it also faces many small and fast-growing domestic rivals in China's big cities. Overall, local brands grew 7.7% last year, as against an inspiring 0.4% growth for overseas rivals. But American corporations can take heart from the fact that certain brands continue to stay strong. Oreo remains strong in China, while Coca-Cola and Pepsi recovered last fiscal after losing ground between 2012 and 2016 to juice and water drinks, which were seen as more healthy. Could the vegan trend be dying in China? Well, not to digress, but what about the other sectors? Surely Donald Trump isn't miffed about access to just the FMCG sector. China's government has its own version of Make in India, the Made in China 2025 initiative, which includes strategic areas like new energy and smart vehicles, is helping local brands. China's automobile market, the world's largest, has seen domestic car brands, thanks to supportive government policies, sneak up on foreign brands over the past 5 years, challenging the likes of Ford, GM, and even Tesla. The government's push for electric vehicles as a key industry has drawn dozens of new local makers to this market. Ian Zhu, who works with NIO, which is a Chinese electric vehicle startup, said a shift to smart electric and autonomous cars would boost local brands as the vehicles increasingly become entertainment and workspaces rather than mere transport for commuting purposes. He says, and we quote him, "You have to know local tastes and the local environment really well. Foreign companies will have tremendous challenges in that," unquote. In high-tech sectors like medical devices, semiconductors and pharmaceuticals, China is pushing its own domestic champions to trim reliance on overseas markets. Wait, doesn't that sound like China's response to Donald Trump is to empower local industries? Why does that sound familiar? China's central bank has announced that it would free up at least $100 billion for Chinese banks to help lending capital to troubled state firms and small businesses. The People's Bank of China is reducing the reserve requirement ratio, the share of deposits that lenders must put aside with the central bank, for commercial banks and small banks by half a percentage point. The reduction in reserves will take effect on the 5th of July, a day before Trump's 25% tariffs become effective. The threat of that much-anticipated trade war has reportedly spooked China's stock markets, with the Shanghai Composite Index falling to its lowest level since June 2016, just a few days ago on the 24th of June. That's a decline of about 5% over the start of the week. Chinese President Xi Jinping met with foreign business persons last week and warned about, and we quote him, a surge of trade protectionism, isolationism and populism, unquote, in an apparent reference to Trump's policies. Wait a minute, why are the communists batting for globalization? Donald Trump and his topsy-turvy world, I tell you. Forbes reported, very unironically, that the US, and we quote from there, may be underestimating Xi's resolve to appear unwavering in the face of attacks from China's main economic rival, the United States, unquote. Exports reflect only about 10% of the USA's GDP, meaning the American economy is in a great place to withstand pressure from abroad. However, media reports claim there are troubling signs that an all-out trade war could impact the country's economic rebound. The US is on track to achieve close to 3% annualized growth in the current quarter. So is China feeling the pressure? According to Kenneth Raposa, an analyst in Forbes, China stands to lose more from any trade wars. Reading the gains and losses on the year, every major China ETF is underperforming the S&P 500, according to Raposa. He says, and we quote him, "China is losing this one. The market has spoken." Unquote. Raposa observed yesterday that MSCI China is down 6.74%, FTSE China is down 10.45%, Deutsche Xtrackers China A shares is down 16.8%, and the market's favorite, China tech stocks, were down just under 2%, as represented by the Crane Shares China Internet and E-commerce Fund. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is up 1.6% year-to-date. Rachel Ziemba, an analyst who runs Ziemba Insights, claims one way to gauge China's concern over impacts of a trade war on its economy is to monitor their monetary policy. She says, and we quote, "Policy may be shifting from a moderately tighter stance to a slightly easier one, with a risk that the yuan or renminbi may not only reverse past appreciation against a basket of currencies, but may move beyond it." Unquote. China's currency began the year at 6.51 to a dollar and is now at a slightly weaker 6.62. Any signs that it will hit 7, and that will put pressure on Asian currencies and domestic supply chains, suggesting that capital flow management could increase. Watch for credit policies and any sign of fiscal easing in China, says Ziemba. Now, 6.50 to 6.60 may not seem like a huge move over the course of 6 months, but bear in mind that just 3 months ago, the exchange rate reached 6.24 to the dollar. The previous phase of depreciation for the Chinese currency was from summer 2015 until the end of 2016, when the exchange rate touched 6.96 to the dollar. And this reflected capital outflows from China and a stronger dollar as the Fed had started to increase interest rates. Raposa claims that equity markets reacted negatively to the weaker yuan then and will do so again. He makes another interesting observation or claim. China's tariffs on US goods are much higher than US tariffs on Chinese goods. The US economy is freer. Observers would do well to remember that China is not a fully open market and is actually the largest closed market in the world. In theory, Washington is pressurizing China to open up its economy and participate in more free trade than it has until now. So while China's central bank reduces its reserve requirements for banks, it is preparing the economy for the worst. A China slowdown will impact emerging markets like Brazil that count China as the biggest buyer of commodities. Brazil has been the worst performing equity market in the BRICS this year. However, Chinese industry is optimistic that things will sort themselves out quickly. Zay Diaz, China Managing Director for Kraft Heinz, said, and we quote him, "There are short-term bumps in the road, but the United States and China will cooperate more than compete." Unquote. Now we wait for the next round of tariffs to unfold, even as news reports suggest that Donald Trump might once again back off from a belligerent stance to a more amicable one.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.